My name is Yoda, and I'm a soldier. I thought I told ya. It's really funny. I need to find it. I don't know where. Did you hear her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The story is being recorded.
Okay. Let me see. All right. So, hello. Welcome to the Anomaly Miniskirt Cast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And we're here to discuss two important things. One thing is we saw the Star Trek movie. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Well, not the Star Trek movie. The most recent Star Trek movie.
Right.
I guess the Star Trek movie would be the one, the first one. Wasn't it just called Star Trek?
The motion picture.
The motion picture, that's right. Star Trek motion picture.
Well, the favorite for us is First Contact, right?
Yes.
Are we in agreement? Yes.
It's still my favorite. It's still my favorite. However, we are going to discuss, I guess it's Star Trek 11 or Star Trek the new something. Anyway.
It's just Star Trek.
Star Trek? Oh, okay.
Just Star Trek.
Just Star Trek. Okay, good for them. Anyway, so we're going to discuss that. And then we have a little matter to discuss, very, very short, about Buffy possibly being done without Joss Whedon. So,
boo.
Yeah, boo on that one. We just have to get it out
there.
They
must not have heard, you know, what happened to the first movie without his
involvement. Well, he was involved. He wrote the script, and then they spent the whole directing process completely damaging everything that he had done in the script because they didn't get him. And then when he finally got creative control of the property, then it finally did what it was supposed to do and rocked. And, I mean, are there some things that are wrong with it? Sure. When you do something for 7 years, there's things that are going to go badly. But as a whole, it's his property. And I realize that somehow these people maintain some sort of rights to it. So legally, is there anything that can be done? No. But as far as if you really, I mean, the people that are loyal to Joss Whedon are loyal to Joss Whedon. And I'm one of them. And I just don't want anything to do with this. And see, to me also, it's like, calling it Buffy, that's my problem.
Yeah.
Is, like, if you think you want to do something with the Slayerverse and you have a new idea for a new Slayer or something like that, that's one thing. But trying to make a new Buffy or somehow dealing with Buffy, I just think that should be ethically off limits to these people. Just my opinion. I don't know. What do you think? Am I crazy?
No, I think it's ridiculous. It has to do with money, I'm pretty sure.
Well, of course.
Otherwise, why wouldn't they want him involved? He could make it successful. But by eliminating him, they are making more money. That's what I think the bottom line is.
Yeah, but they'll make more of a percentage of whatever money could be made, but not necessarily more money in all. I don't know. Whatever.
We'll save it for our main topic.
Yeah.
Main topic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's really all I wanted to say. So anyway, so we can go right to the mini main topic of Star Trek. Now it's been a couple of weeks since we've seen it. So you go first, Jen.
Well, we did end up watching it on opening day.
Yes.
Which was awesome. Your sister decided she would take Russell for the night.
Yay!
As a
Christy,
service to us geeks, which was awesome. Thank you very much. And we brought our
communicators,
and we held them up like lighters at the beginning of the movie. And in our small town, there were how many people do you think in the audience? About
like six. I don't know.
Yeah, including us.
Okay. So there were the four of us, because we brought Jim and Dave, and then maybe like six others. So, so 10, maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It was awesome. You and I are probably the most vocal of the entire audience.
Nobody was really right next to us, though. So
Yeah. I think we annoyed them a little bit, but that's okay. Who cares?
Who cares? And go ahead.
The part where, I mean, the beginning of the movie, let's start with the beginning.
Okay.
That awesome opening scene.
Yeah.
Battle and everything. And where Kirk's mother dies.
Oh.
Yeah, you cried.
I totally cried. I just had a baby last year. Give me a break.
No, I'm not dissing on you. I understood. I patted you on the back.
I know. I cried
consoled
hard.
You. Yeah.
It was so crappy, but
it was,
you know.
Yeah, it was. I was trying. I guess I'm too analytical because the whole time I was trying to figure out why she was on the ship. Because
there's that.
You know, then the whole family things didn't come into play until TNG. But then I've heard, you know, comic books are integral to this whole story, which you don't really know the entire thing unless you've read the comics. And apparently, uh-huh, she was also a Starfleet officer, and that's why she was on the ship. So,
well,
if I had known that, I probably would have enjoyed it better. But.
Oh, okay. Well, I just kind of went with it because it was very, all of the fast action happening was, mm-hmm, very, mm-hmm. Well, and we have blogged about this already, but we did want to,
yes,
talk about it, and it was my contribution. So I think everybody's going to want to know what you think. Obviously, mm-hmm, I will interject, but please continue.
Well, I enjoyed the movie. I had fun during the movie. But my nerdiness got in the way a little bit because, again, I did not know that this was an alternate universe.
Right.
I thought they were jacking up the Star Trek timeline. And I had a lot of problems with the fact that Vulcan was destroyed and that Romulus was destroyed. And they never corrected. I was cool with it until I realized, oh, it's almost over and no one is saving it. It's the timeline is not corrected because, you know, we've been trained as Star Trek fans that if there is some type of problem with the timeline, it's always corrected before the television show is over.
Right.
But it did not happen this time. And I walked out of the theater kind of quiet. But after talking to the guys on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum, I realized that there was a whole comic, you know, book thing that was supposed to supplement this movie to explain things a little better. And apparently this is an alternate timeline, all that jazz. And
yeah,
so that wasn't abundantly clear to me. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people caught on pretty quickly. I don't think I'm a slow person at all.
Mm-mm.
I just think that that wasn't spelled out very well in the movie, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, I'm fine. Well, I go back and forth because I'm fine with it to a point because I think that, and like I mentioned on the blog, I think that the episode parallels that when Worf goes to the different parallel, mm-hmm, universes, you know, mm-hmm, that creates a situation where we're okay. You know, the physics of the Star Trek universe, where we have already established that parallel universes can exist, you know?
Yeah.
And so the fact that we would follow another one is an interesting device to me to take the same characters that people love already and create new stories without technically disrupting the real timeline. And I would say that if it was, I like the idea in a way, I like it because of the fact that it doesn't say, well, just erase all the rest of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't, mm-hmm, say, hey, we're just going to ignore that any of this Star Trek stuff existed and we're just going to do our own thing. It says, okay, we recognize that this exists, but we're just doing something else. You know what I mean? So at least instead of, because it could have been, you know, they could have just said, well, you know, they could have just gone and done it. Like when they redid the Batman movies. You know, they could have, and of course I know Batman, you know, has a lot of comic books to back them up as well. But like, instead of saying, okay, well, we recognize this, we're going to do, you know, something else and flip it, they just started over basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I was worried and I would have been more angry if they would have just started over.
Yeah.
Instead of connecting the other timeline that we're used to the one that they decided to go with.
Well, see, yeah, I'm all for the alternate timeline thing. And now I love the idea. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But at the time I was watching it, that was not abundantly clear to me.
Okay.
This was an alternate timeline because I purposefully avoided spoilers and news forums about, I didn't even frequent that thread on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum because I didn't want to know anything about the movie going in. And so apparently you had to know a little bit of the backstory, you know, the background before going to this movie, or people like me have to.
Right.
I guess I think I don't believe that it's you should have to read a comic book to realize that, you know, it should have been a little more should have been explained, especially, you know, I'm going to be nitpicky here.
Go ahead. Because,
again, I enjoyed the movie. It was fun. It was a roller coaster, but I'm having a little trouble understanding why so many people just loved it. They think it's the best Star Trek movie ever made. And I'm thinking, okay, it was good and it was fun, but it's not the best Star Trek made. You know, it's, you know, the special effects were great. The soundtrack was not impressive to me. The acting was good. There were several actors that I thought were standouts, like the one that played Spock. He was awesome. And we know him from Heroes. And
yes.
And the one that played Kirk was great. One that played Bones, he was from Lord of the Rings. Awesome job.
I thought he did great. Yes.
The casting was well done.
Yes, I love the casting.
Yeah, the costumes were wonderful.
I did like the costumes as well.
The real problems I had was the fact that there was nothing really explained. Like, I wasn't real sure why all of a sudden this cadet right out of the Starfleet Academy was automatically the XO, you know, the first officer. Whenever the captain left the ship, I was like, excuse me, wouldn't there be someone else, you know, more qualified to take that role?
Yeah.
But, you know, I found out later that most of Starfleet was wiped out or something. And these were like the only people available to take over.
Right.
You know, and that makes sense to me now, but at the time I didn't know that.
Right.
And so, yeah, those little things like that bugged me. I thought that Scotty's always funny in the original series, the episodes. He's kind of the comedy relief, but he was a little over the edge, I thought, in this movie. Mm-hmm. He bothered me a little bit. And I like Simon Pegg. I think he's great. And he did a good job as Scotty, but some of the scenes were just like over the top slapstick.
Yeah.
And I really think they tried to make this for people who had never seen Star Trek before. And that was the point of the movie, to draw new audience in. And as people who work in marketing, we understand that.
Right.
When you buy something, you try to market to people who maybe don't understand Star Trek. It's not necessary to explain the whole history of Star Trek. You just jump in point A and go to point Z and just go for it. But for me as a fan, I was kind of like, but that's not the way Scotty always is, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, again,
yeah,
just nitpicking stuff, nitpicking.
I felt like are you listening to me on your regular speakers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I
do can't I need hear... to put my headset on?
You do.
Okay, hold on. Let me find my headset. I think they're hanging on my mirror.
Do 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 do. Sorry.
I'm using my condenser mic because it sounds better, but I have my Bose headphones that I can listen to you through. It's just hard for me to know what I'm saying because I can't hear me.
You can't hear yourself?
Okay.
I Sorry.
Can hear you, but not. That's okay.
Okay.
Hopefully I didn't ruin all of that with my echoey background.
No, it's okay. It was just when I was talking.
Okay.
And I just heard it in the last few moments, so somehow I don't know what changed. But anyway, I think that's going to be much better. Okay. Sorry.
That's
I agree about Simon Pegg. I think it was kind of a strange situation because I like him. The thing is, though, is he is a comic actor. So you're kind of going into it. I think they're writing, you know, toward his strengths and toward the strength of what they think the character is. So I do believe that maybe they spent a little less time on him and Chekhov as well. Like, it felt to me like they weren't paying attention to them as much. Like, they decided, they seemed really two-dimensional to me, mm-hmm. those two characters. Mm-hmm. And I like them, you know, but it felt like this is this, you know, one thing that this person's supposed to do in the show, in the script, and that's what they did. It was just like they didn't really pay attention to them. Or maybe what they did with them got cut out, or I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Also, I felt like I'm curious to see where they go as far as the Uhura Spock thing. I'm gonna, if they have another movie, which I'm sure they will, I'll ride it out. I'll listen to what they have to say. But I'm still, that's still just weird to me. I wouldn't have liked it if she would have hooked up with any of them, I don't think. I like the idea of her being part of the crew, yeah, and not just a love interest. And to me, putting her with any of them makes her less of a crew member and more of a love interest. And I hate saying that. And it's weird almost because it's like almost going backwards.
Yeah.
Like she's like a feminist. She's a feminist icon, I think. And because she came in, she's, you know, she's a woman, she's part of this crew. She's, and at the time when the 60s, you know, when the 60s show came out, it was crazy that she was in the position she was in and nobody even like thought twice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like in this movie we took a step backwards. And, you know, I don't claim to be any kind of feminist, but I think I am in a way. Both of us are a little bit, you know. And mm-hmm. I feel like it was a step back. I hate to say that. And we may get mail from that. But, you know, what do y'all think? And this is a female podcast, so...
I agree with you, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to bring up the point that her role in this movie is more defined than it was in the TV series, because in the TV series she was a glorified receptionist.
Well,
you know, and she just had this fancy piece of equipment hanging off her ear, and in this movie she had, you know, her background is in linguistics.
True. So it was more like,
and so she was more like Hoshi on Enterprise.
Yeah,
you know, she's smart, and she was very confident in her. Well, she was like that on TOS also, but. I just felt like she had more spunk in this movie than she did in TOS. And she stood up to Kirk a lot. She kind of, you know, she didn't go for Kirk, which would have ruined the movie if she did.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping he would not get with her. But and he didn't. That's good. And I'm not against her being with Spock, but what about Savik? That was what I was thinking in the back of my head. And when I was watching this, like, Savik could totally take her. But then Savik is Spock's wife.
Right.
You know? But knowing now this is alternate timeline, it makes sense. Okay, they could possibly get together. And apparently a lot of people thought that in TOS, and when I say TOS to you non-Trek fans, that means the original series, Star Trek, the original series, the one that took place in the 60s.
Right.
Uhura had some interest in Spock. I never saw it, and I watched them all with my dad when I was little in reruns. So I don't get why people thought that. I thought Nurse Chapel liked Spock.
Yeah, where was Nurse Chapel?
She was MIA, apparently.
I guess. And see, that's the thing. I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like, to me, she was the only female, really, in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's used as a love interest. And I think that's the deal. I don't have a problem with Spock having love interest, and I don't really even mind it being her too much. But you see what I mean? And I just kind of came to this as we were discussing it.
Yeah, because you have been for it in the past.
when
we talked about it on Treks and Sci-Fi.
I was just talking about the implications, and also when we talked about it on Treks and Sci-Fi, I was really, really distracted. I had a lot of things going on. But, I don't really have a problem with it, but the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking that it is... It's kind of, again, I don't really care. It's not that big of a deal to me one way or the tether, but I do think that they could have done better. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like no matter what I say about it, it's going to sound horrible on my part, but
I kind of agree with
them being together, but more I think about it, about her as a female role model kind of thing, that her being with no one and just sort of, you know, being herself and being part of the crew, and like you said, being kind of more like Hoshi, mm-hmm. is not that she has to be exactly like Hoshi, but you know, kind of going more that way would have been a little more interesting to me. Now, if Spock would have had, you know, anyone else, I don't know. It's interesting, but this is a girl podcast, and we do have to talk about some girl.
Yeah, we got
to
talk about it. What did you think about her? She reminded me a lot of Dee from Battlestar Galactica.
She
looked like her. She has a similar position on the ship.
True.
You know, that was Dee's role on the Battlestar.
Yeah. I mean, I did, like you said, I did like her relationship with Kirk. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I like how they wrote, you know, how they dealt with each other. So I thought that was really cool. And I thought it was also really funny, since we're talking about the women. I liked Winona Ryder. I thought she did a very good job.
Yeah. Let me just say, I thought that when we first started getting a little bit of rumors about this movie back, mm-hmm. it was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while back.
I was appalled to know that Winona Ryder was going to play Amanda, Spock's mother.
Yeah.
Not because it's a Winona Ryder, but because she's always in like the movies that are whimsical and cutesy and, you know, Beetlejuice and The Headless Horseman, movies like that. And she's such an icon. I didn't want an icon to play Amanda. You know, I thought it would be like a throwaway. But she did an excellent job. And I was kind of proven wrong, I guess, by her role. And it was such a brief moment on the screen. But she plays an old woman really well.
She did good. So good for her.
Yeah, I liked that part, and I felt really sad whenever she died.
Yeah, that was not cool.
As far as we're on that subject, I really liked the way they handled the whole Vulcan emotional thing.
Yeah,
because you never know, other than, you know, Enterprise, the television series, that Vulcans have emotions and they simply suppress them. And in this movie, Sarek, who mm-hmm. is Spock's father, finally tells Spock to his face that he loved his mother, and he said that he'd miss her. And, you know, this is something that he's probably never... He and Spock don't get along in Star Trek Prime, is what we'll call the other, you know, the parallel Star Trek, the timeline that Picard exists in that we love. They don't get along in that timeline, and Spock or Amanda's kind of like their buffer.
Yeah,
she keeps them from fighting, and now that she's gone in this timeline, they have to deal with one another. And it's interesting that they just get along instantly. You know, they kind of connect on the fact that he lost his wife, the father lost his wife, and Spock, the son, lost his mother, and so they kind of connect after that, which was interesting. But anyway.
No, that's cool. So anyway, so we got her. I also thought it was very funny that the girl who played Uhura's roommate, who is
an Orion slave girl,
but she was like because to me, I always think of Orion slave girls as like, you know, very exotic
seductive
women. And she was very cute and beautiful, but it bubble was gum. Funny because she was like bubblegum. She had like a redheaded cheerleader face, which was cute. She was so cute, but it was funny. It was just funny to me because that's just not what I expect when I think
not at all.
Like if I were to cast an Orion slave girl, I would just not have cast her, but I think it was cool that they did because she was so atypical to me.
She was very cheerleader.
She was and so cool. I liked
what's
her.
What's funny is that when we're not going to the convention we were talking about going to in Atlanta?
DragonCon.
It's escaping me. Yes, DragonCon.
We're not going anymore.
But at the time we were talking about going, and we're going to go as Star Trek characters. I was going to go as Ezri Dax. You were going to go as Counselor Troi.
Yes.
And our friend Stephanie, who's been on this show multiple times and is our Renfest pal, was going to go as an Orion slave girl because she's a belly dancer. We thought she'd be perfect as that, but her hair is not black. So we were telling her, well, maybe you could wear a wig or, you know, something like that. But now that this movie has come out, she could totally do this.
Yes.
She would have been perfect, but too bad for not doing it.
That's okay. We'll do it one day. I still think we need to go to Comic-Con sometime.
Yes, we'll go visit Kenny.
We have to go visit Kenny. I really do think so. So, and I hear Joss sometimes comes to Comic-Con, so that would be cool for me. Okay, what else? Oh, I liked Sulu, and I loved his little, how you didn't, I liked how you didn't see the whole sword fighting thing coming when he... That was funny.
He pulled out
that awesome sword. Oh, it was so cool. And that was really cool.
I kind of expected it because I know the episode with which they, you know, kind of took that from. And when he asked him what his experience was in combat, he was like, fencing.
Well, I thought
it was kind thing.
Well, I knew, I just thought it was funny that I wasn't expecting the how the sword was going to work. Like, I thought that was cool. That came to me, that came out of nowhere.
I was just glad that he got a chance to do something other than be the dude at the con. You know, he was in the action and actually getting to save the day, which I liked. And that scene that we're referring to, there was a red shirt. There was totally a red shirt.
I know.
That scene. And I think he was the engineer, and that's why they had to get Scotty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's funny. Poor engineer.
I know.
Poor red shirt. They had to throw that in there. You know they did. So, okay, well, I can't remember anything else. That's why this is a mini cast, a mini skirt cast.
Well, let's see what else. What did we like about the movie? Because I talked about what I didn't like about the movie. I guess I could talk about the things I liked and you can talk about the things you didn't like.
Okay.
Okay, what things did I like? Well, I already talked about the fact that the Vulcans were kind of elaborated on a little bit more, and Winona Ryder's role was good. Let's see, what else did I like? I didn't have any problem with the fact that the bridge of the Enterprise looked like an Apple store. Maybe that's because I'm a Mac user. I don't know. I liked it. It doesn't matter. I guess I'm not into technology that much. You know, well, I am in the real world. I have a lot of gadgets and gizmos, and you all know that I have a big screen television. I love it. But in Star Trek, I am not interested in the techno babble. I would rather not have it a part of my Star Trek experience. I just kind of glossed that over. So I didn't care that there were big tubes in engineering. I didn't care that the decks were shiny and spotless and didn't look like anything we've seen before. I didn't care that the Enterprise was gigantic and we don't know how many people, you know, what size it really is. I really don't care about that stuff. It was all about, to me, movies and books and television shows are about the people. And I liked the people involved in the show. The only thing that got in the way for me were the little minor details that I talked about earlier that have to do with, you know, my knowledge of Star Trek. So I guess overall, I thought it was a fun movie. The action was nonstop. There were a lot of nods to previous Star Trek movies and non-Star Trek movies like Top Gun. But it was a roller coaster a ride from start to finish, and I enjoyed it.
Did you write that down?
Nope.
That was good.
Thank you. And I had a glass of wine.
that's what I'm missing. I should have had a glass of wine. Okay. Well, let me try to think. I really honestly came to the movie with new eyes. So I'm trying to look at it as I enjoy the Star Trek genre, kind of, and that this was just a new thing in the Star Trek genre, not just this. And so a lot of the things that I could say that I don't like about it have more to do with my comparing it to other Star Trek. But if I look at it as just a part of the Star Trek world, then I can just kind of accept it as its own thing, you know? And so I don't know that I have anything negative to say, because I really did enjoy everything except for what I have what I've already talked about, the little pickety things, but I really enjoyed it as a whole. Like, I would definitely recommend it to people, and I would recommend it to people who like Star Trek, who don't like Star Trek. And, you know, you and I, unlike some other people, I think we can enjoy, I like to be able to enjoy all types of sci-fi as they are. And I just kind of think of this as its own entity in a way, even though it is Star Trek. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
perfectly.
That's pretty much what I mean.
Yeah. They kind of do the same thing.
Oh, I did think of something that we haven't talked about yet, was the Romulans and the water.
I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up. That was something else I didn't like.
I know. And I was that was kind of weird to me as well. Like, that was the only thing that I think I didn't like. But it's funny because it's one of the things I don't like about several Star Trek stories, where the story itself seems to be better than the impetus for the story. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Where it's like everything that happens after seems to work, but if you really look at why, it seems kind of silly. You know, like when we talked about the my favorite episode. Now I can't think. Oh, Time Zero.
Time Zero.
When Time
the
Zero.
Aliens,
it's
the,
my favorite.
Brain
it's
suckers.
My favorite episode. But when I come down to the alien brain suckers, I'm like, that's so stupid. I really don't like it at all. And this is like, well, I really like this. I'm glad they're reviving everything. You know,
yeah.
Like start. You know, I can handle all this stuff. But when I go back to, well, why did this all happen? Oh, because some Romulan is ticked off about something that doesn't even make sense. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, that's the only thing I don't like is the whole premise.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is like Battlestar. We kind of picked Battlestar apart, but we loved it. It's just the way geeks are.
I know.
And I think that that was one of the things I hated about the movie was that the Nero's name was Nero. I mean, he's a Caesar. And why would Romulan have that name?
Right,
that
that's
was one
weird.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was he was dressed like a steampunk, you know, and he
yeah.
had this like he had this very American accent, you know. He's kind of like, I'm so ticked off at you because you destroyed my planet, you know. And that
also,
was the way his air was.
How many times we have to listen to the storyline about how revenge just doesn't pay? I mean, it just doesn't. Anybody who tries to do anything.
That was the weakest part of the story.
Anybody who's tries to do anything for revenge, it just never works out. I mean, the only person it works out for is Inigo Montoya. That's the only person that I've ever seen it work out for.
He's pretty much cleaning up in on our podcast, isn't he? This is his second podcast in a row. He's been.
I know, but I'm telling you. Am I right? I'm right.
No, you're right.
He's the only one that ever takes revenge and it works out. Usually, revenge, especially for Romulans, for some reason.
Yeah.
Romulans gotta stop. They gotta get out of the revenge business because it's just not working out for them.
It's not working
too well.
For them.
It is not. But
it doesn't work for Klingons either.
Well, and then when you look at it too, you're like, okay, so Spock was supposed to go through. Okay, so he was going to use this to create a black hole, but wouldn't the black hole have also sucked in? I mean,
right. I was trying to figure out
are we
what
creating
the
a black
point.
Hole? Are we stopping a
right.
black hole? What
that
are we trying
part wasn't
to do?
Explained. That was not explained in the movie. What exactly was Spock trying to do?
I know.
Was he trying to suck the whole sun into the black hole? In which case, what was the point? Because the planet is screwed whether the sun is saved or not.
Right.
You know, or destroyed, or if it goes supernova, the planet of Romulus and Remus, the planets, I should say, they're both going to be, you know, up a creek.
Right.
So what's the point?
Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah, I
and
do.
The other thing, since we're on the subject of planets,
go please.
The big thing, some of you know that I moderate an RPG based in the Star Trek universe. That's a written RPG on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum. If you are interested in joining, go to Treks and Sci-Fi. I will introduce you to our story, and we'll figure out a character for you. But anyway, enough of the shameless plug.
Very
the
good.
Planet of Vulcan has a sister planet or a moon. They're not really sure if it's a sister planet or a moon. It's really giant. It's called T'Kut.
Yeah.
It was not in this movie at all. And we kind of talked about this with Rico, and in parallel universes, yeah, there would be minor, you know, differences, maybe major differences in people and events, but not maybe planets. There was no T'Kut. There was a what was the name of that planet that Spock was on?
The
Spock
ice. Planet. Oh, you mean Hoth?
Yeah, Hoth. Star Trek Hoth. It was called something Vega, which was really a nod to another TOS planet.
Okay.
But there was no T'Kut in this movie at all, which bugged me to beyond belief. But again, I'm a major Vulcan nerd, and that's probably why my sci-fi race is listed on our website as Vulcan, but I digress. That was just another thing that bugged me about this movie.
But that's okay. That's
so
okay.
So I had a lot of mixed feelings about.
But I think as a whole, we both on. I mean,
did have fun. It was a lot of fun. We both cheered whenever the word Star Trek appeared on scene. You know, it's just been so long since we've seen a Star Trek movie that we were. Overjoyed and elated.
Oh, and I did have one more thing. Sorry.
What?
I did have one more thing is that the only thing I first of all, I love Leonard Nimoy. I mean, love him. He is so amazingly awesome. Love him. The only problem that I had, though, was at the end when they did
the monologue.
I really felt either A, somebody needed to just suck it up and get William Shatner to do it. And I don't know what the story is there, so whatever. Or really what they should have done is had Chris Pine do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he is the new cap. You know, he's the captain now. And the captain needs to do the monologue, to me. Mm-hmm. That's my deal.
Well, I understand why they did it, because this is probably the last film that Leonard Nimoy is going to be in.
Yeah.
And flip him the bone, let him do it. That was probably not the right analogy.
That was a really funny analogy, and I'm going to keep it in just because it's hilarious.
A Freudian slip. Give him the opportunity to be the last person from the original series to actually say it,
right,
and move on to the new cast in the next episode. That's what I think they were trying to do there. But my question would be, Gene Roddenberry's wife, you'll need to edit this part so I can sound smart when I remember her name.
Are you talking about Majel Barrett?
Thank you, Majel Barrett. She was supposed to be the voice of the computer. Did you notice her at any point in the movie?
No.
Me either.
Aww.
That was supposedly her last role.
I didn't really think about it.
She passed away, was the voice of the computer, and I didn't notice it at any point in the movie. But again, I've only seen it once, and you've only seen it once.
Yeah.
Which may make us bad Star Trek fans, but...
No, it makes us busy Star Trek fans.
That's true with lives.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of this podcast, so... Mm. Okay, well, I think we're good. We're gonna go over miniskirt time.
Yeah.
But I think we're good, though.
But not that I just wanted to say before we stop that
go ahead.
If you've seen it more than once, we're not saying that you don't have lives.
Don't worry about that.
I know that Rico's seen it multiple times. I didn't want to imply that he did.
Well,
not.
I would like to imply that Rico doesn't have a life and that he's a horrible person and I hate him.
And if he doesn't like it, he should email us, because he never does. And that goes for anybody who's never emailed us. challenge you.
Oh, just like making fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm looking at IMDb right now, and they call Leonard Nimoy Spock Prime.
Hello? Yeah, I know. That's why I called him that.
I don't know. That's just funny. Huh.
That means he's the Prime main Spock. Yeah, the Spock of the Prime timeline.
Ah, so, okay. Anyway.
I liked that at the end of the movie, he met new Spock. Because in all the episodes we've ever watched, they try to avoid, you know, messing up the timeline.
Or if some kind of paradox might happen.
Right. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm stuck here, and there's not very many of us. So how are you doing? I'm yourself.
I'm you.
We can't exactly avoid each other. How you doing? This is what you're going to look for. This is what you're going to look like. Look forward to it.
eat more chicken. I don't know. Okay. Well, I think we did good. And we hope to see you guys again for our next full episode, which we have no idea what it's going to be about. Oh, we do know what it's going to be about.
Yeah. Well, is it going to? It's going to be Lord of the Rings, right?
Are it's we going to have a Lord of the Rings podcast?
Yeah. Are we going to do a Hobbit feast and try to watch them all in one sitting and do a little break between each one? Or are we just going to start with Fellowship of the Ring?
I think we should just start with Fellowship of the Ring, because
we'll still have the Hobbit feast.
I think
right?
The Hobbit feast is something that we have to commit to.
Okay.
And that's something we can do later in the summer, but. We should encourage people to do that, and maybe we'll set a time to do it so that everybody might do it on the same day. But as far as our podcast, I don't think that we need to do that.
Yeah,
much
that's going to be like, what, about 12 hours worth of movie?
Yeah, it's a lot of hours worth of movie. And we don't screw around. We're going to watch the extended version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
be watching that and be prepared, because that will be what?
And also we want to do a wow. June. We want to do a WoW podcast, because we really need to do one, since it's been a while since Lich King came out, and we have people chomping at the bit to do a Lich King episode of Anomaly. Mm-hmm. So,
and I will be probably not saying a whole lot.
That's okay. That's okay. But I don't want to ignore some of our WoW people, and we have a lot of good friends who've been on the podcast before that would like to speak about it. So, anyway, I haven't even really played that much. I've been a very bad WoW player. Very bad geek.
But a good mom.
And a good
that's good.
mom.
Yeah.
I guess that's the point. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Live long and prosper.